Lord, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all our hearts be pleasing and acceptable to you, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Well, if I seem a little anxious, a little excited this morning, you'll understand why, because in just about 31 minutes, Pat and I are going to be on vacation. Yeah, we're taking a week off. We haven't had a week off since last October, and we are really, really looking forward to getting away. It's been a very busy year. Easter is past, and we're ready for a little downtime. The bags are packed. The cat's all taken care of. The email account's been shut off for the week. The gas tank is topped off. And at 12:01 p.m., we are so out of here. But you know, we all need to get away now and then, don't we? With all of the stress and emotional stuff that's going on and mental anguish and not to mention the emotional overload that we all sometimes experience. We just need to get away and have some opportunity to refresh and renew. Think about how our senses are bombarded every day from so many things. Things that we see and hear every day that add to our stress level, our anxiety, and our mental fatigue. Look at what's on television and what you read in the papers about the tragedies and the violence, the killing, and the natural disasters. Couple that with all of the advertisements that we see that bombard us with all of the ads for the different products. Not to mention the noise pollution with all the construction and the traffic and the noise all around us. Periods of peace and quiet and solitude are hard to find, and opportunities to shut down are few and far between. And this is in addition to the really serious stuff that comes to us from time to time, to some of us, that really just knocks our socks off. Like that not-so-good doctor's report that you got, or the divorce papers that were served, or the pink slip, if they still even give pink slips anymore from your job, or the sudden death of a loved one. All of this would leave anyone overwhelmed and wanting to get away from it all by seeking some solitude or finding some mindless activity to focus on, to divert our attention for a little while. Ministry can be stressful, as some of you know, but I enjoy cutting the grass. I don't know about anybody else, but I really enjoy cutting the grass, getting on my big old tractor and just riding around in circles and just losing myself in that repetitious, mindless activity. Now, other people may find relief in shopping, like my wife. Or some may find it eating a whole box of Russell Stover candies. Some may just like relaxing by watching old movies. Unfortunately, some people turn to alcohol and drugs. Now, let's think about Jesus' disciples for just a moment and what they went through that last week of Jesus' life. How stressed out and emotionally drained do you think those guys were? Let's go back to that first Palm Sunday. Imagine being treated like royalty, coming into town with everybody shouting Hosanna and waving palm branches like they would for a king. And then think about how exciting and sort of nerve-wracking maybe it was when Jesus went to the temple and cast out the money changers, turning the tables upside down on the money changers, and how he got everybody stirred up because of that. And then there was the night that Jesus spent with his disciples washing their feet and serving them communion before he was betrayed. And then going to the garden, being arrested, brought before a mock trial in the middle of the night, and then hearing the the sneering and jeering mob, seeing the brutal beating and eventual execution of Jesus. On top of that, imagine the emotions they must have felt when they were told that the tomb was empty by some women and that Jesus had actually appeared to them. You'd think these disciples might like to get away for a little while. Well, according to today's scripture, they did. Peter says, "I'm going fishing." Well, that's a man after my heart. I love to fish. I know some of you do too. The others must think this is a pretty good idea too, because what do they say? They say, "Let's go. Let's go with him." So they get into their boats and they do what they're most familiar with. They do what they do best. For you see, they were fishermen by trade. And they resorted back to their occupation. And they go fishing all night long. This is a natural response, you see. We humans often respond to emotional and mental stress and overload by returning to our old ways, our old patterns of behavior, doing the things that we're most familiar with. For the disciples, it was fishing. But no matter where they would go or what they would do, the risen Lord promised to be with them. The psalmist understood this. The psalmist wrote in Psalm 139, "Where can I go from your spirit? Where can I go?" And wherever we go or do to get away, the Lord promises to be there also. I'm hoping he's in Chincoteague, because that's where we're going. I think he is. He's right there, ready to nourish us and serve us and restore us. John's gospel today tells us that while the disciples are out there on that lake fishing, Jesus, meanwhile, is on the beach cooking breakfast. Breakfast on the beach is what I've entitled this message. He sees the disciples about 100 yards away in the boat, and he calls out to them, "Hey, you guys, you caught any fish?" Well, they don't recognize that it's Jesus yet, and they call back and they say, "Nope, not a thing." And then Jesus tells them to do something strange. "Cast your nets on the right side of the boat." And as soon as the net hits the water, it becomes filled with all kinds of fish. The Bible even says 153 to be exact. And John, the disciple that Jesus loved, looks up and he sees that it's Jesus standing on the beach. And he tells Peter, "Peter, it's the Lord." And so good old Peter, open mouth, insert foot Peter, the first one out of the boat, jumps overboard and swims to shore to see Jesus. And so he and the rest of the disciples join Jesus for breakfast on the beach. Jesus tells them to grab some more of those fish and throw them on the barbecue there. Let's have breakfast. He's prepared a meal of fish and bread for his disciples. And here is what I think is the main point of this story, especially as we gather here at this table, at the beach. This meal with his disciples is another one of those sacred moments, a holy meal to be shared together with them, to remind them that Jesus is with them no matter where they go, in the midst of their stress, in the midst of their brokenness and disappointment, as he is with our stress and overload and mentally and emotionally overloaded lives. He invites them and us to come away with him, to break bread with him, and to be fed and nourished upon himself, the bread of life. As we go through all of our daily struggles, Jesus wants to remind us on this first Sunday after Easter to stop and be fed spiritually, to spend time with him, to linger for a while, to relax and be nourished with the bread of life and the cup of salvation. But there's a second part to the story that I didn't share with you this morning. You can read it for yourselves in the next section of this 21st chapter. Jesus asked Peter, "Do you love me?" And Peter says, "Well, of course I love you." And Jesus says, "Feed my sheep." A little while later, Jesus asked Peter again, "Do you love me?" And Peter says, "Lord, you know that I love you." Jesus says, "Feed my lambs." And then he asked Peter again, "Peter, do you love me?" And Peter was hurt by this being asked the third time. And he says, "Lord, you know that I love you." And Jesus says, "Feed my sheep." Now, a lot of people believe that that was Jesus' way of forgiving Peter for denying him three times there in that courtyard. But I think all of this is to say that as we struggle with our stressed out, overcommitted lives, as we try to manage our families and our jobs and our careers and all of our physical ailments and illnesses, as we try to serve God the best we know how, our spiritual lives must be fed as well. But not only that, we're reminded today that there are others out there that need nourishment as well. Those we know, those we don't know, who are hurting, who are dying, who are hungry, and who need the Lord like us. These are the ones I think Jesus is telling us to feed. He's saying, "Church, Bethel Church, do you love me?" Everybody say yes. "Then feed my sheep. Take care of one another. Take care of my children. Take care of one another." Today is your invitation to join Jesus for breakfast on the beach at God's Beach House. You know, that's kind of our nickname for Bethel Church, God's Beach House. Come today to this table and be filled with Jesus' love. Come and be nourished and fed spiritually. But then, don't stop here. Go. Go and feed my sheep, Jesus said, with the good news that Christ is risen and the new life that all of us can enjoy in him. Amen.